please turn with me in your scriptures to the letter or to the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 53 is where we will be reading for our Old Testament reading. It's found on page 847 in the Black Bible that you may have received as you entered into the sanctuary. We read both an Old Testament passage as well as a New Testament passage. And the reading of God's Word is not something that we do simply to fill time, not simply as a starting point, but this is God's Word. And the reading of the Scripture is an element of our worship. It is an act of worship. So we will read from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 53. We'll read the entire chapter. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Thus far the reading from the Old Testament. Turn now to the letter of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1 in the New Testament. First Peter chapter 1 comes after the book of Hebrews and after the book of James. Found on page 1390. In the Black Bible that you may have received. We'll be reading verses 1 through 12 of 1 Peter, and the focus of the sermon will be on verses 10 through 12. Hear now the word of the Lord. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet, believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, who was in them, was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that they, that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Almighty Lord God, you who spoke at various times and in various ways to the fathers by the prophets, speak to us today through the power and the presence of your Spirit by the word of your Son, that we may rest in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for our salvation in the midst of all our circumstances, to the praise of your glorious name. Amen. Have you ever given much thought to the work of the prophets? Have you ever thought, what must it have been like to be a prophet, to do and to speak the things that they had to speak? The work of the prophet was not an easy work. They were required to do things that none of us would, or that all of us would be embarrassed to do. They were required in their own lives and with their own body to be pictures of the judgment that God was of the judgment that was to come if the people did not return to God. The prophets spoke in a time and in a culture and among a people that refused to listen to them, that did not want to hear their message. I think of the prophet Jeremiah, who had Baruch record the words of the Lord. And his words were sent to the king. And what did the king do? He took those pages upon which the word of the Lord was written, and page by page, as it was read, threw it in the fire and warmed himself with it. The king didn't want to listen. He didn't want to hear the word of the prophets. Well, what are prophets? Prophets are God's covenant lawyers. They were charged with the task of calling God's people back to serving him, back to following him. Their message was a message of judgment. In Jeremiah 25, for example, you get a message that says, you know, take the voice of mirth, and I'm going to take that away from this land. I'm going to make it a land of desolation, and it's going to be a land of desolation for 70 years. But then the prophets also had messages of hope. Isaiah 43, fear not, for I have redeemed you. The work of the prophet was a difficult work. It was a work that is difficult not only for them, but for us to understand. For it's not always clear what exactly the prophet is referring to. You see, sometimes the prophets, as they proclaimed the word of God, would be speaking to the people of their day. Sometimes they would be speaking to the time of Jesus, as we read in Isaiah 53. But sometimes they would also be speaking of the final judgment that is to come when Christ returns once again. Do you know, do you understand the words of the prophets? Do you understand the message that they have? Did you know that the message of the prophets was not always clear to them either? They struggled with the message. They saw dimly what they were speaking about, but they did not fully understand. They did not fully grasp their own message. So what do you think about the prophetic message? Of what benefit is their message to you and to me if it wasn't always clear to them what their message was about? Should we study the prophets? Should we think about the prophets? Is there any benefit to studying the prophets? You see, in our passage today, there is much use for the prophets. You will see that the prophet's message was intended for you, for your benefit, for your encouragement. The Apostle Peter has written this letter to, we're told, five places, to pilgrims who are scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, which is in today's, what we would call modern-day Turkey. They are scattered throughout this area. They are believers who are facing struggle, much struggle, perhaps even persecution. It was written around 64 AD, sometime around Nero's persecution. They faced challenges concerning what they believed about Jesus Christ and about the message that they had heard. And Peter is writing this letter to encourage believers. He wants to strengthen them in their faith. And this passage that we're looking at today is the third source of encouragement that he is going to give to believers who are struggling, who are facing persecution, who are facing much distress and sorrow. His first source of encouragement was with the doctrine of election in verses 1 through 3, or 1 and 2, where he speaks about who the believers are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Christ. That he shows that our salvation is by God through the Spirit in Christ alone. The second source of encouragement is that believers have this inheritance that is imperishable, an inheritance that is incorruptible, that is undefiled. And so when you think of the struggles and the turmoil that you face, there is much hope and there is much encouragement that can be taken by looking at the promises of God. And then in verses 6 through 9, the apostle points to the struggle and that the Christians can rejoice even in the midst of trials. That we, even when their faith is being tested, there is much rejoicing for the believer. And now here, the apostle turns to that third source of encouragement, the words of the prophets. And you'll see by God's grace that the gospel is the fulfillment of the prophet's message concerning salvation. The gospel is the fulfillment of the prophet's message concerning salvation. You will see the gospel message studied by the prophets and the gospel message declared by the apostles. First of all, the gospel message studied by the prophets. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, who is in them, was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Notice there is, I've titled it here, a time warp, in that sense that the apostle says, of this salvation. Well, what salvation is he talking? He's talking about, he's referring back immediately to the verse preceding here, where we read that believers, though you do not yet see him, that is Christ, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The apostle wants to focus in on that salvation of the souls. What is that salvation of the souls that the apostle is referring to? You can imagine the believers as they are reading this and being encouraged to think about, in the midst of struggle, in the midst of trial, how can I rejoice? And what is this salvation that you are pointing me to? The apostle wants to point them and direct and say, this is the salvation that I'm referring to. I'm talking not about a salvation from pain. I'm not talking about deliverance from an ungodly tyrant. No, I have a very specific salvation that I have in mind. And the salvation that I have in mind is that salvation which the prophets inquired about. Well, what is the end of faith, as he talks about in verse 9? The end of faith is the salvation of your souls. Well, what is the salvation of your souls? What is the end of faith? It is eternal life. It is life in which you are reconciled with God, not only now in this life, but in the life that is to come. What is the goal of salvation? It is justification. That is being declared righteous in God's sight. And so that you can come before the presence, not in and of yourself, not in and of your own strength, but in the strength that the Lord provides. The end of your salvation is sanctification. That is growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Becoming more and more like Christ. Those are the end of your faith. Those are the goals of salvation. And it is of this salvation, justification in Jesus Christ, adoption in Jesus Christ, sanctification by the Holy Spirit, it is this salvation which the prophets inquired about. Notice he says that the prophets have inquired and searched carefully. They made these prophecies. Well, what is a prophecy? Well, a prophecy is to proclaim inspired revelation. To prophesy is to speak a word of God. It is to speak concerning Christ. And it is through the word of God, the scriptures, and the spirit that men can prophesy. If anybody speaks to you a word that is not from the scripture, then you have every right to question whether that is prophecy or not. There have been many people in the history of the church who have claimed to have prophecies. My wife was telling me about someone this morning who said that the words of the scripture are not God's words. Even the words of the prophets, they're not given by divine inspiration. That is, but God breathed, God spoke these things. But these words, it's the ideas that are prophesied. And therefore, this woman, as she prophesied, it was her ideas that were inspired as well. And many cults have gone off that way. But prophecy is speaking the words of God. Holy men, moved by the Holy Spirit, spoke of the things of God, as Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. Now, the prophets were given not only the task of being covenant lawyers, but of proclaiming salvation to the people. But they didn't fully understand their own prophecies. They saw only dimly what they were speaking about. And that's why Peter says they inquired and searched carefully. They spoke things which to them were a mystery. They didn't fully understand what they said. They didn't fully understand exactly what they were doing. It wasn't clear to them. But what was clear to them was the one who gave them the words to speak. They trusted in God. They knew that he was speaking about salvation that was yet to come. They knew that they were speaking about Christ and his sufferings, even as we read in Isaiah 53 concerning the suffering servant. They knew that they were speaking about Christ. They were speaking about a Redeemer that was to come and the glories that were to follow. But did they have all the pieces put together? Could they Could they put that all of that together in, as you put together a puzzle? No, they searched diligently. They searched carefully. They sought to understand the grace that God was speaking to them. They sought to understand what exactly was this suffering servant to do. Who exactly would this suffering servant be? They wanted to understand their message, and so they gave diligent, careful inquiry into the message. What about you? Do you give careful, diligent inquiry, search into the Word of God? Are you desirous of understanding and knowing the Word of God better? Do you study it at home by yourself? Do you study it with your children? Do you read the Word of God regularly? Do you follow the example of the prophets who gave careful search into the Word of God? For in the Word of God, we discover the sufferings and the glories of Christ. Do you want to understand this truth? If you do, study the Scriptures carefully. If you don't understand something, don't be afraid to come to your parents to ask. Don't be afraid to approach your elders to ask them to explain to you the Scriptures, for they will do the best that they can to open before you the beauties and the glories of Christ, even as the prophets sought to open the beauties and the glories of Christ to you. But notice how the prophets prophesied. It says that they inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching in what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating. I want you to notice that this prophetic message was not the message of the prophets themselves. It was not something that they came up with. You are told that it is the Spirit of Christ within them. It is the Spirit of Christ who is active in the prophetic message. The words of the prophets are not their words. It is the very Word of God Himself. And so for that reason, and that reason alone, should be sufficient reason for you and me to study the Scriptures and to study the prophets. I have to confess to you that I find the prophets one of the most daunting of all of the types of literature in the Scriptures to study. For there is so much that I find mysterious and unclear. And yet it is not for that reason that I avoid, or that you ought to avoid studying the Old Testament, that you ought to avoid studying the Scriptures. You need to study the whole counsel of God, the Old and the New Testament, the narratives, the poetry, the Psalms and the Proverbs, and the prophetic works. But you see, it is the Spirit of Christ who communicates His truth through the prophets. You see, the Holy Spirit foretold beforehand about Jesus. The Holy Spirit told beforehand what would happen to Christ. He told these things before they took place to encourage and strengthen your faith. You see, the prophet Isaiah, for example, spoke of the suffering servant 600 years before the servant ever was, before the servant ever walked on the earth. He foretold that the servant would suffer an agonizing, painful death, that he would be buried with the rich at his death, that he would be beaten, that he would be bruised, that he would be mocked. And who experienced such beating, bruising, mocking? Who is it that was put to death and was buried with the rich? It was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the fulfillment of the prophet's prophetic message. You see, the prophets proclaimed well beforehand what Christ would suffer, so that you and I could be encouraged and know that in the suffering of Christ, all those who love Him find forgiveness in Christ. That He is the guarantee of your salvation when you trust in him. But they spoke not only of the suffering of Christ, they spoke also of the glories that would follow. Children, when Christ died and was buried, did he remain in the grave? He didn't, did he? He rose from the dead. And not only did he rise from the dead, but he ascended into heaven. And we confess that he ascended into heaven and there sits at the right hand of God. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. He is in the throne room of God. Christ has been raised from the dead, that those who are dead spiritually, who believe and trust in him, might also be raised from the dead, that you might be able to enter into the presence of God, into heaven itself, one day when Christ returns, or when you are called into glory. You see, the prophets spoke of these things. They spoke of the glories that would follow. They spoke of eternal life, of forgiveness in Christ, of reconciliation with God, and of redemption, of being bought back from death. You see, the message of the prophets is fulfilled in the gospel message concerning salvation. The prophets studied this message. They wanted to know, what is it that the Holy Spirit is speaking through us to these people? What difference does it make in my life and in my heart? It wasn't always clear to them, but they desired to look into and study the Word of God. And so the prophets study the gospel message. But the gospel message is also declared by the apostles. Notice what he says. To them it was revealed, to the prophets, that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. You see, the prophets were told, we're speaking not for ourselves. We're speaking not just for our own day, for our own people. But Peter says the prophets were speaking to you. They were speaking to you as much as they were speaking to the people of their day. Though they saw only dimly, even after careful inquiry, they still didn't understand the word of God. But how could they? For God had not sent his Son into the world yet at that point in time, who was the fulfillment, the type of of the things of which the prophets pictured, of which they described, of which they explained. And notice that even the angels desire to look into these things that the prophets spoke about. The angels longed to see the fulfillment of the prophetic message. The angels rejoice in the unfolding of salvation. You see, the angels are not omniscient. That is, they do not know all things. Angels are creatures. They were created by God. They were created to serve him, though they were created spirit. And angels, as they are created to serve him, stand before God rejoicing in his presence. Rejoicing when God's work of salvation is accomplished in his people. And as they see God's decrees working themselves out step by step, moment by moment, they long to see the end of it. They long to see the fulfillment of it. They rejoice to see the working of God's holy and eternal purposes. But Peter says, these things are written to you. Do not neglect these things. Do not neglect the Old Testament. They are written for your edification. They are written for the strengthening of your faith. But these things are fulfilled in Christ. To them it was received, it was revealed not to themselves but to us. They were ministering the things which have now been reported to you. You see, the prophets were speaking to you. They foretold events that would have a direct impact on you. The prophets proclaimed what would happen, what was going to take place in the future. And Peter says, it is these things that the prophets spoke about that are now fulfilled. These things which we have reported to you through those who preach the gospel. That word there, reported to you, refers to the content of the message of the apostles, the content of the message of the early church. You see, what was the message that the apostles were preaching and proclaiming? They were proclaiming Christ and Him crucified, that Jesus was born of a Virgin Mary, that He suffered, that He ministered, that He was beaten, that He was crucified. It is these things that are reported to you, which to the Greeks were foolishness, and which to the Jews were a stumbling block. But Peter says, the prophets wrote these things to you. And we are speaking as apostles and prophets, as the church of God, and saying to you, those things that the prophets spoke about are fulfilled and have been fulfilled in Christ. You see, as the apostles reported about the things that they had seen and heard. The Apostle Peter tells us that we have the things that we have seen and heard in 2 Peter 1:21. And of course, I'm not going to find it. Knowing this, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. You see, it is the Holy Spirit that worked through the reports of the apostles. It is the Holy Spirit that worked through the proclamation of the Word of God as the early church was being established. And brothers and sisters and friends, it is the Holy Spirit that works and continues to work through the proclamation of His Word. The proclamation of His Word is done in weakness. It is done in much frailty and with many failings. And yet, God is pleased to speak through His Word. He is pleased to use men to proclaim His Word, that the church might be built up and edified. And when the preacher speaks the gospel message according to the Word of God, not speaking his own interpretation, not speaking his own pet doctrines, if you will, but when he speaks the whole counsel of God, then it is God himself who is speaking to you. Don't lose focus on the preaching of the Word of God. Don't lose focus on the preaching of the whole counsel of God. Preaching is not simply a whole bunch of stories. We were talking this past week about some televangelists. One in particular I think of who is a very gifted orator, that is a very gifted speaker. He tells story after story after story after story after story, and they are captivating, and they say nothing about Christ. They say nothing about the truth of the Word of God. Preaching is not a bunch of stories. Preaching is a declaration of the Word of God, of Christ and Him crucified, of God's faithfulness when we had rebelled against Him. Preaching is not moralism. It's not a list of do's and don'ts. But preaching points you to Christ, to rest upon Him alone for salvation as He is freely offered in the gospel. Isn't it interesting? Some time ago, I'm not sure whether I read it or I heard it somewhere, but have you ever had somebody say to you, don't preach at me? Don't preach at me? Why are they saying, don't preach at me? They're saying, don't preach at me because they're saying, don't give me a list of do's and don'ts. Because far too often, preaching has been boiled down to a list of do this and do that and do that. And if you do this and you do that and you do that, then God will be pleased. And so that's what the world hears far too often when they hear of preaching of the Word of God. Brothers and sisters, I want to point you to Christ. I've tried to do that a number of times already. I want to point you to Christ. He is your only hope of salvation. He is the only source of strength. He is the one who reconciled all those who trust in him to God. There's not one of us here who deserves this grace and this favor. And yet, that is the message of the gospel. When you are struggling, and I assume that you struggle from time to time, I don't know of anyone who hasn't struggled over something at some point in their life, and perhaps many things at many points in their life. When you struggle, where do you turn? Do you turn to the Word of God for encouragement and strength? This is what the Apostle Peter was doing as he is writing to these believers who are facing persecution, who are facing death, imprisonment for their faith. He's pointing them to the words and the promises of God and saying, be encouraged because Christ suffered. But when Christ suffered, there are many glories to follow. Oh, what great comfort there is in these words. Those who love Christ revel in the whole counsel of God. They revel in the whole Bible. Think of the comforts there. Think of the glory that awaits you when you struggle. And those comforts that are there come in different ways and different forms to, not in different forms. Those words are there, but they strike you in different ways. How many times haven't you read the Word of God and read this passage over and over, and suddenly one day, wow, that's exactly what I needed. That's exactly the sort of encouragement that I needed today. I've been thinking about that in terms of where we are as a family. And I've been thinking about that passage in James chapter 1, where he talks about, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, without doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, and unstable in all his ways. And that's a passage that has often puzzled me. But then it struck me how often I've been praying for wisdom, that the Lord would lead and guide and direct. And then you know what the next thing is that I do? I worry. I wonder. If only it had been done differently. If only they'd done it this way. If only I had said that. Oh, Lord, give me wisdom. And what am I like? I'm like that wave of the sea, tossed about, emotionally struggling, so that even my children don't quite know where I'm coming from one moment to the next. Have you experienced anything like that? Brothers and sisters, there was such encouragement in this passage for me. You might think, well, that's strange. To be called an unstable man in all his ways? That's exactly how I felt. And that's exactly what I continue to struggle with from time to time. Now, that may not be your struggle. What do you struggle with? And where do you turn? For the Word of God is great encouragement for you. Whether it's found in the Old Testament or the New Testament, the whole Word of God is given for your counsel. Brothers and sisters, set aside time each day to study the Word of God. Find some sort of study help, some sort of reading plan. Murray McShane, there's the McShane reading plan, that's a good one. Or if you want to read the Bible in a year, just read 4 chapters a day, and you should be able to go through the whole Bible within a year. But read the Word of God. And if there are any here who do not know the Word of God, then I challenge you, cast your eyes to the Scriptures. For in the Scriptures you will find a description of who you are before God. In the Scriptures you will find a description of not of the glories that are to follow, but of the judgment that is to come. For it is only those who are in Christ who will not be judged in and of themselves. For they have been judged in Christ. But if you are not in Christ, you will stand before God one day. And he will say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Pray for the work of the Spirit, that he would open your eyes, the eyes of your heart, to see Christ and him crucified. Hopefully I've opened up to you a little bit of what the Apostle Peter was talking about when he pointed to the prophets as a word of encouragement for the people. Having considered the prophetic message at least a little bit, what do you think of it now? It was written that you might be encouraged. In your struggles, don't forget their message. It might be all the encouragement you need. After all, the Word of God was given for your benefit. The prophetic message was given to you.